All right. Jason left. He's got some serious blood pressure issues going on, so pray for him. Miss Maria left. She's got been having a lot of bad headaches. So pray for these folks that just were here but have left, and others that aren't able to be with us as well. So let's pray for all of these. Let's get our Bibles. We're going to go now to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 today. I'm going to stay on track because as far as encouragement goes, this, I think, is one of the most important or encouraging passages in the Bible that we're going to look at today. So we're continuing with our study in 1 Thessalonians. We're in chapter 4 in the final passage here. Paul has talked about in this passage about how to live right. And then we've talked last week about how to work right. The things that we're supposed to do till the Lord comes back. Live right and work. Amen. Isn't that what we're doing? Live right, do right, and keep working till Jesus comes. Amen. Well, we're going to talk today about when Jesus comes. I want to preach to you on this thought today. I'll fly away. Amen. We're going to fly away. I should have sang that song for you today. I'll fly away. I want to preach on that today. If you'll stand with me, if you're able, we're going to read verses 13 through 14. With that thought in mind, I'll fly away. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, as you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the instruction that you give us here. Thank you, Lord, for the enlightenment of a great future event. And Lord, help our faith today. Give us your power and your spirit in our presence today to encourage our hearts. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. I'll fly away. Isn't that what it said? We're going to one day go up into the air and meet the Lord in the clouds. The Bible really said that. You say, wow, that's hard to imagine, isn't it? It is hard to imagine. You're going to fly one day, amen, without an airplane. You're going to just go up into the clouds and meet the Lord. There's coming a day when Christians, we can seriously say, I'll fly away one day. We're looking forward to that day. So what Paul did here with this passage, now go back and look at it, verse 13 there. He said, I don't want you to be ignorant about this concerning them which are asleep. When he uses the word asleep, he later uses the word dead in Christ. He's talking about those that have already died, the Christians that had already died. They were concerned about them. He said, I don't want you to be ignorant concerning them. You know, the body, for the Christian, the body goes into the grave, it sleeps. The soul never sleeps. It's eternal. It goes to be with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, right? So the soul never sleeps. The soul is eternal, but while sleeping, the Bible uses that terminology for Christians, is the body. And the Bible says sleeping because he's going to bring them up out of the grave one day. Right? Amen? He's going to do that. He's going to bring them up, and they're going to be reunited with their soul, which is already in heaven. So they were a little confused and concerned about their loved ones that had already died there. So he says, I don't want you to be ignorant. He did not want ignorance, and that's not an insult. He did not want ignorance. He did not want the things that they did not know to affect their faith, because it was. They were concerned, greatly concerned about the situation. Now, he taught a lot of things while he was there. In this passage, he kept referring to the things that he taught them while he was there, but his time was cut short because he was persecuted and ran out of town. So then he sent this letter back to
try to finish up some things and answer some questions. Now get this. Dr. John Phillips says in his commentary that was by the wisdom and providence of God that Paul was ran out of town. You know why? Because if Paul hadn't been run out of town, you and I wouldn't have the books of 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians, because he would have just preached it to them while he was there. That's a pretty interesting thing to think about. These books are a welcome to the church today. We're glad for the end times teaching that we have in these books, as Paul was answering their questions and concerns that he didn't, the thoughts that he didn't get to finish. He told them about the Lord coming back. Well, what happened was, Paul has now been gone for a little while. They said, well, the rapture is going to happen. Jesus is coming. Some of them even quit their jobs. That's why we preached on work last week. I preached on, do I have to go to work last week? Because they quit their jobs. Well, the Lord's coming back, and it could be any time, so we don't need to go to work. Well, that was the wrong attitude. We worked on that last week, right? And talked about that. But now they're like, well, wait a minute. Uncle Joe got saved and he trusted Christ, but he died last week. He's in the grave. He's going to miss the rapture. So they thought any of those Christians who had believed and died, they were thinking, well, if they miss the rapture, they can't go to heaven. Aren't you glad we got the Bible to help answer the questions? Amen. And we know, actually, most Christians go to heaven by way of death and not the rapture. That's the way it's been ever since, right? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now, you would like to be among those that go to heaven through the rapture and not through death. Amen, right? Is that what you're hoping for? Are you hoping to go to heaven when the Lord just calls the church up? Or do you say, well, I'd really rather go through the whole funeral home thing? You know, really, I really prefer to go through the grave, you know? Hey, you know, for the Christian, though, folks, death is no longer a penalty. It's your way to get home. So you look at it like that too. Amen? That's the door through which. But there will be a day. The rapture will happen. The rapture of the church. And that's what he's describing right here. So they were concerned. Well, what about Uncle Joe? He already died. Is he going to miss it? No, Paul said, I don't want you to be ignorant about this. I want you to understand. So Paul gave these details about the rapture. Now, the word rapture, we use that, you know, some people will tell you, well, the rapture is not in the Bible. Well, what they mean is the word rapture is not in the Bible. Well, the teaching definitely is. By the way, the word Trinity is not in the Bible, but the teaching of God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit is definitely in the Bible. There's a word for it. There's a theological word for it. And just because the word is not there doesn't mean the teaching is not there. Now, actually, though, when he said that we shall be caught up to meet them in the air, the word caught up actually does mean rapture. So that's where the word comes from. Caught up, it means to rapture, to seize, to snatch up quickly and forcefully. It's coming today in the twinkling of an eye. Christians are going to just disappear from the earth because they're going to be raptured. Now look, if you're here today and you're not saved and the rapture happened in this service, you're not saved, everybody else that is saved is going to disappear. And you're just going to be sitting there and you're not going to be ignorant because you already know what happened, right? Now I think this, whenever the Christians disappear in the rapture, I got a sneaking suspicion that the world's going to explain it away with some kind of alien activity, you know. The aliens came and, you know, we've been hearing about these UFOs and, you know, we've been seeing it in the, government's hiding this stuff from us. And I'm not a believer in it, by the way. So, but I think that might be how it gets explained. All these people have just suddenly disappeared. The aliens took them. You know, I said this before. I jokingly said, yeah, it was all them Christians that disappeared, them crazy people. They took them up there to get them reprogrammed is what it is, you know, and get them to think right. Well, no, those are the folks that do think right, amen, because they believe the Bible and they're just going to disappear one day. They're going to be raptured, seized, snatched up quickly and forcefully, going to heaven all at one time. Now, did you know that's the next event on the prophetic calendar? You say, well, they were expecting it. That's like 2,000 years ago. The Lord's not slack concerning His promise. We still believe it. Amen? The Lord's coming back. All the prophecies about the Messiah coming have been fulfilled in the first coming we celebrated every Christmas. But did you know there's more prophecies in the Bible, Old Testament included, about the second coming of the Lord? The second coming is in two parts. The rapture that we're talking about today, and then there's going to be a 7 years tribulation on this earth, and then the Lord will literally come back, second coming. He will not touch His feet on the earth this time. It says we will meet Him in the air. The second coming, He will actually come back to earth. But there'll be 7 years in between that. We believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. I believe the Bible teaches a pre-tribulation, meaning when the tribulation happens on this earth, the Christians and the Holy Spirit will be gone. Okay? So we believe that. So they may, say, well, the aliens come and took a whole bunch of people because people are going to disappear. Cars are going to crash. Planes are going to crash all over the world. It's going to be total chaos. It's going to be total panic on this earth. The missing person reports will be overwhelmed globally. I mean, can you imagine all this disappearance? The economic crash that will happen is millions are suddenly gone from the workforce and from the economic circle of the world. It's going to be a terrible time on this earth when this rapture happens. In fact, as I mentioned a minute ago, the book of 2 Thessalonians gives even more light on what will happen then. Because it tells us about how the Antichrist will then take over. The Antichrist will restore order on the earth. The Antichrist will present a global economy, a global currency, a global government, a global religion, and all of that will happen. So 2 Thessalonians reminds us of that. It also lets us know, folks, that that abrupt absence of the church and the Holy Spirit is going to cause a lot of havoc on this earth. Folks, if the church and all the Christians were gone from this earth, you think it's wicked now? You're the salt of the earth. Churches like this spread across this world is what's preserving morality right now. But the Bible says the Holy Spirit's going to be gone, the church is going to be gone, and the Antichrist, backed by Satan himself, will take over. It's going to be the worst time that this earth has ever known, and we've seen some bad times on this earth. Amen? So all of this is going to happen, but I'm glad for these books of the Bible. That's why I say God ran him out of town so he could write these books, right? If he hadn't been run out of town, we may not have these books, but these books teach us what's going on. A couple of good outlines I found, not using these, but a couple of good outlines that I found for this passage. One is we got the Lord's returning. Second, we got the rapture of the church. Third, we got a reunion in heaven. And fourth, there'll be a reward because we'll have the judgment seat of Christ then. There, up in heaven, there'll be the judgment seat of Christ and the marriage supper of the Lamb that will take place while the 7-year tribulation is going on this earth. Another outline is this. The Lord will come down. Buried saints will come out, and the living church will go up. I like that one right there. Amen. The Lord's going to come down, not all the way to the earth. The Lord's going to come down in the air, in the clouds. Buried saints are coming out of the grave, and the living saints will just go up into the clouds, and we'll all be there together. Now, this passage says, by the way, those that are already in the grave will go up first, and then we'll be right behind them. They've got priority. They died first. That's only right. They get to go up first, right? So all those graves will burst open, and those bodies will take off up into the air, and then right behind them will be those that are still living, still alive. But it all happens so fast, So if you want to win the race, you got to die first, right, to be first in this thing, okay? But we don't want to, I'm not worried about that, amen? It'll be so fast that we'll all be up there together with the Lord, amen? Now, the world would say, that guy is crazy up there talking like this. This is Bible truths that we believe. Amen? Now, look, I know Christians disagree over the centuries, over all the little details of it. But, again, I believe in a pre-trib rapture and pre-tribulation and all of that. It doesn't matter. We know that this is going to happen, and we all are going to be together with the Lord. And He said, forever. And then He said, comfort one another with these words. This is comfort. That's why we read this passage by the graveside of Christians that have died. Why do we read this passage? Because we're telling the family, hey, you might have put them in the grave today, but they're coming up at the rapture. Amen? Because Jesus came up out of the grave, you know that your loved one who died in Christ is also coming up out of the grave one day. Amen? That's why we read this passage in those times, because it is comfort. Told you before, Billy Kelly used to say, I hope the rapture will happen soon, because going to heaven one at a time is really getting on my nerves. And that's a pretty good way to say it. Amen? We are right now going one at a time. And it does bother us when we lose them. But I tell you, there's coming a day, it's all going up at one time. Amen? So Paul said, hey, don't be ignorant about this. Don't worry about Uncle Joe already being gone. He's not going to miss the rapture. In fact, he's going up before you if you're still alive when it happens. You don't have to worry about him. It's going to be a grand reunion up there in heaven with the Lord. All right, let's look at three things today. I'm spending too much time on the introduction. Let's get to 3 points today. Number one, let's talk about this. Unbelievers have no hope, it says right here in this text. Unbelievers have no hope. No hope. Isn't that a terrible phrase? No hope. Well, he says that right there in the end of verse 13, as others which have no hope. We have hope because we have this truth in the Bible. The church is not the ones who need to be worried or concerned about anything, because we got heaven in our future. Amen? The church is not the ones that need to be concerned today. It's those who are not saved today. They have no hope. The Bible says that they ought to be very worried. He's referring to lost people. They have yet to receive Christ. They have yet to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They have yet to be saved. They are not born again. They are still living in their sins, and they risk dying in their sins and going out into eternity with their sins unforgiven. And the Bible says they have no hope. They're going to die that way in their sin, and there's no future promises for them at all. Now, if a person dies in their sin, goes out into eternity, and goes to hell forevermore, or in this case, the rapture happens and they get left behind on this earth, they have to go through that tribulation period that's going to be the worst thing this earth has ever seen. So in that case, they will have no hope on the earth, knowing that they also have no hope for eternity. Now, you know, I believe this, according to 2 Thessalonians, by the way, some people that get left behind will still get saved. But the Bible says if you've already heard the gospel and you've rejected it, you will believe the lie of the Antichrist. God will give them a strong delusion. In other words, they've already rejected their opportunity to get saved. So they will not be the ones to get saved in the tribulation. It would be people who have never heard it, but they learn about it during the tribulation. But those who never get saved have no hope. Now, that's a terrible phrase. You know, normally when we think of the phrase no hope, we think of about a very bad earthly situation, right? We think, boy, we hear people say, well, there's just no hope. There's no cure for that cancer. There's no hope. This situation is so bad, there's no solution for this situation. There's no hope. And you know what folks will often do? When they reach that point in their life of no hope, a lot of times they end their life because they have no hope to carry on for another day, right? But the problem is, if they are lost, then guess what? The no hope situation has really just begun for all eternity. So whenever you talk about no hope here, we're talking about people that will definitely miss heaven because they have rejected Christ as the Savior. I'm glad that as believers, we have all the hope in the world. Amen? And heaven too. Pray for those who have no hope because they have no salvation in Christ. Anybody not saved, there's hope right now. You got time. Get it straight. Amen? Don't wait another day. Don't risk dying in your sins and having no hope for eternity. Thank God you can get saved today. Amen? But those who reject Christ and go into eternity, or when the rapture happens like this, they'll have no hope. Number two, though, let me say this. Believers have the blessed hope. Believers have the blessed hope. And that's what we're describing here. So Paul's encouraging this church. They were ignorant concerning this subject matter. They were ignorant to think their deceased loved ones who were saved were going to miss heaven. They were ignorant about that. So Paul, what does Paul do? Paul wants to give them the truth, and in so doing, he gives them hope. You know, the only hope people can get on this world, folks, is the Word of God. Amen? When we give the truth, we're giving hope, right? And we get the blessed hope of a promise like we have right here in the Word of God. Now, let me say this. Bible hope is not a wish. I had things happen in my life the past week that I hoped, and prayed would have a certain outcome. You did too. The folks in the path of that storm, they hoped and prayed for certain outcomes, right? You're going to go through things this week, and you hope they will have a preferred outcome, right? You're going to hope and pray. I just hope it doesn't go that direction. Boy, I hope and pray it goes this way, right? Well, Bible hope is not a wish like that. Bible hope is a knowledge based on the truth of the Word of God. It's confidence. It's assurance. It's an anticipation. Earthly hope is just a mere wish, it's a mere desire, and it has no guarantee of what the outcome will be. That's earthly hope. I hope for this, I hope for that, I hope it turns out like this. But Bible hope is actually an anticipation based on the promises of God. So it's not, I hope I get to heaven, it's, I'm looking forward to when I get to heaven. That's Bible hope. That's the blessed hope. Amen? The blessed hope is a sure thing. It's not a wish that may not happen. No, this is a real thing, that Jesus is coming. This rapture will happen. Christians do go to heaven upon their death. We will see the streets of gold. We will see the gates of pearl. We will have those heavenly mansions. And most of all, we will see the face of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, one day. Amen? These are not wishes. These are not desires. These are not earthly hope-sos. These are Bible no-sos. Amen? You can have assurance these things are going to happen. Faith sees it. On this earth, it's by sight. I'll believe it when it happens. But we know these things are going to happen. So this Bible hope is fundamental and foundational to our Christian belief. So the hope of the rapture is always before us. Perhaps today, he says there's going to be a shout. There's going to be the voice of the archangel. The trump of God up in heaven is going to sound. Folks, we're looking for the sounds today, not the sights. Amen? We're looking for the shout. We're looking for the trumpet. And that could happen at any moment. And perhaps today. That's the blessed hope. It's always in front of us because it hadn't happened yet, and we know it's the next thing on the calendar. Now, I know people say, well, you know, boy, this world's getting so bad. The rapture's got to happen this week, you know. I mean, the rapture's just got to happen this week. We don't know. No, the Lord said you don't know when it's going to happen, but you know that it is going to happen. So you're always looking forward to it, amen? People trying to get through that storm right now. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the rapture just took all the Christians up and they didn't have to worry about it? You've got a problem you're facing right now. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the rapture happened today and you're up in heaven and that's over with? Amen, right? That is the blessed hope that Christians have, that it could happen at any moment. So it is the blessed hope. You need to know that you're saved. And in Acts chapter 1, the Bible tells us this in Acts chapter 1, Jesus ascended up in heaven. It says that the disciples beheld as he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Can you imagine that? Jesus just ascended up. They're talking to him. Next thing they know, Jesus just rises up. You've seen a Superman movie, right? You've seen that depiction. He just takes off. Well, the Lord just began to rise up. This is real. And they watch him. He goes up in the clouds out of his sight, out of their sight. That same thing is going to happen to us one day. I think ours is going to happen faster. It says they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up. But then two men stood by them in white apparel. Those are angels. Which also said, "You men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." So the angel said, "Hey, you know what? Can't tell you when it's going to happen, but you just watched him rise right on up into heaven, didn't you?" He said, "He's coming back the same way." But according to this passage that the Lord gave Paul, he's just going to come so far, and we're going to go up into the air and meet him in the clouds. Pretty awesome. Your airfare, it's already paid for by Jesus' blood at the cross. Amen? Don't worry about that plane ticket. There will be no plane involved. You will just rise up into the sky. And then in Titus, Paul said, "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." Today, that's the blessed hope that you're looking forward to. Amen? Look, there are some unbelievers have no hope. Believers have the blessed hope. The Lord's coming back. We believe this. Amen? Do you believe that today? The Bible said it. It settles it. I'm looking forward to it. Amen? That sounds crazy. Hey, this is God we're talking about. He's got plans for the future. Amen? This is the church age right now, but when the church disappears, at the rapture, then the tribulation begins on this earth. Okay, God's got plans. So unbelievers have no hope. Believers have a blessed hope. Number three, believers have eternal hope as well. So in verse 17, "Then we which are alive and remain," now he assumed it was going to happen in his lifetime by saying that, "shall be caught up," that would be the word rapture, "together with them in the clouds," to do what? "To meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." That's forever, right? That's eternal hope right there. "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." So he says, I want you to take these words, or Paul says, I want to take these words from the Lord today, and I want to encourage you, talking to that church that was going through persecution, talking to that church that was worried about their loved ones who had already died. He said, I'm going to take these words, the Word of God, and I'm going to take these words that we got from the Lord, and I want to comfort you and encourage you today. You know, just as Paul gave those words that day, you know, you and I are to share these words and encourage each other today. We read this at gravesides all the time for Christians because it's applicable, right? But it's applicable to us today as well. This is our eternal hope. Now again, the worst days the world has ever seen will happen for those that are left behind. The Antichrist is going to take control at that time. He will be the most brutal dictator this world has ever seen, because he's backed and empowered by Satan himself, right? He's going to promise peace to Israel. He's going to supposedly give peace. But at 3.5 years, he's going to break his peace treaty. And the last 3.5 years, that is what we call the Great Tribulation period. Now, the most wonderful things will be going on up in heaven. Well, one thing, you'll be rewarded because the judgment seat of Christ will take place. And then the marriage supper of the Lamb will take place. And then the literal second coming of Christ, when we all come back with him, and the Battle of Armageddon and so forth takes place, right? It's eternal hope that we have in our Lord. So, you know, I think this, folks. Church gatherings are inspiring and encouraging and helpful. Aren't you glad God gave them to us? Paul said, hey, I don't want you to be ignorant. You know, that's why he gave preachers and teachers to churches. He doesn't want us to be ignorant about his word. He doesn't want us to be defeated by the devil. He wants us to have the Word of God. And church gatherings like this, they inspire us, they instruct us, they encourage us, they help us. You're here at church today, you must think so. Amen? Right? But can you imagine that gathering? We're going to meet the Lord in the air. We're all going up together in the air. We're also going to meet the ones that they were concerned about. Those that had already died, we're going to meet them in the air and right on into heaven. What a reunion it's going to be, folks. This is the blessed hope, and it is an eternal hope that we have. So I love to come to church. I love to get away from the world. I love to come to church. This is encouraging. This is instructing. This is inspiring. This is helpful in so many ways to get together with the people of God. I love going to church. Amen. It's a little bit of heaven on earth. But this gathering right here is going to be better than this one. That gathering right there is going to be the best gathering. And we're going to get up there and we're going to see each other. Wouldn't it be nice if it happened while we were in church? And you didn't miss church that day. You were on your pew. Amen. And it happened right here. And we had a fellowship time a little bit ago, right? Did you go around and shake hands and fellowship with each other a little bit ago? Well, just imagine. We're going to go up together into the air and meet the Lord. And we're going to shake hands again. Amen. Right there. But then all of a sudden, your grandma that was up already there, she's going to appear in a new body. Never to get sick again. Never to die again. It's an eternal hope, right? Look, critics say, man, you Christians, y'all believe that stuff. Y'all need to be tougher, you know. Why y'all lie to yourself like that? It's not a lie, folks. We believe it. It's the Bible, amen. It's the Word of God. God brought this world into existence, and God has future plans. God's not done with it. It's an eternal hope for believers. Not as others which have no hope. But we have the blessed hope and we have eternal hope and we're looking forward to this stuff happening. We're going to have this grand gathering up in heaven and those concerning them, or he used the phrase, the dead in Christ. Well, right now the dead in Christ could be unbelievers. This phrase, dead in Christ, is those who died in the Lord and they're already gone to heaven, but their bodies are coming up at the rapture, made new. You say, what if it got burned up? The Lord can take care of that, right? The Lord can handle that too. What if it got exploded? The Lord knows how to take care. We go back to dust and God, He formed it the first time. He'll do it again, all in the twinkling of an eye. I have no problem. I don't need to spend my time wondering how God's going to do it. I trust God can get it done. Amen? He promised He would do it. He said He would do it. And He's going to do it. And He says these words, this great truth about the rapture. Comfort one another with these words. The comfort of the rapture. Perhaps today, folks, is the next thing. It is meant to bring joy and hope to the hearts of believers. Do you believe that? Let it encourage you today. Let it help you today. I'll fly away. The song says, I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a land where joy shall never end. I'll fly away. Now it says in the song, when I die, I'll fly away. Spirit goes into heaven. That's true. But this chapter says some won't die and they'll fly away in the rapture. Amen. So either way, Christians are flying up. Amen. We're flying away, right? Do you have your airfare paid for by the blood of Jesus? Do you have your plane ticket, if you will, in your possession? Are you ready for this event? Don't be among those who have no hope. I'm among those who have blessed hope and eternal hope. Amen. Based on the promises of the Word of God. Folks, we're going through a lot of stuff on this earth. We're seeing a lot of devastation on this earth, but I'm telling you, the world hadn't seen nothing yet like it's going to see after this happens. When the wrath of God is poured out on this earth and the devil has full control. He's got a lot of control right now, but he doesn't have full control. You right now, as a Christian on the job or a church in a community, are standing in his way. 2 Thessalonians again explains that one. You're standing in the devil's way right now if you're saved. You're standing in the way. But there's coming a day the world's taking us out of the way. You know, the church is like, I just wish all them churches and Christians would disappear and we can have this world the way we want it. And they're going to get it at the rapture and they're not going to like what they get. Right? They're not going to enjoy it one bit because they'll have no hope. But I'm glad to be among those with blessed hope and eternal hope. Amen. Aren't you glad Paul taught on this? I'm glad he got ran out of town so he could write about it. He could have preached it to them in Thessalonica and we'd have never heard what he said. I'm glad he wrote it down for us. Amen. And we got it right here today. I hope it'll help you today. I hope you're saved. I hope you're ready to meet Jesus. I hope you're not among those with no hope. If you are, you still got hope to get it straight. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me this morning, please?
Let's stand to our feet this morning. Let God speak to your heart. Friend, if you're here today and you're not sure about your salvation, you don't have assurance of your salvation, you don't know for sure where you're going, and quite possibly you're in the group that has no hope for eternity. If you were to die today in your sins, or if the rapture happened today and you were left behind with no hope, but you can take care of that today. You can fix that today. If you're saved, you're a Christian, you ought to rejoice in the hope that the Bible gives you today. Dear Father, speak to our hearts, meet the needs. We ask it in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, a little music plays. You might want to come this morning. Let God speak to your heart. Obey Him this morning. Do business with the Lord today. Do you need to come? Loved ones died in the Lord, you'll see them again. That's the hope. That's the blessed hope. That's the eternal hope. But if they died in the Lord and you're not saved, then you have no hope of that reunion. And you need to get that straight while there's still time, while there's still hope for you to do so. Be encouraged today, dear Christian. Great things are in store for eternity. Pray for your lost loved ones that they'll get in on this hope. What a contrast between no hope and eternal hope. That's the two groups everybody is in today. Amen. You can look this way today. Thank you for being here today. I hope that's a great truth in the Bible. That's a fundamental of the faith. Right now, right there, Jesus is coming again, and perhaps today, anytime. Amen.